Okay, good evening. The next Shar in the Orchos Hadikim is the Shar Hasina, is the gate of hatred and the Mida of hating something. Now, obviously, hating is bad. We can imagine that. Nevertheless, there's something to be learned from it. Obviously, this is also the opposite of last week's Mida of Ahava. Sin and Ahava go together. But it wasn't really short enough to do as a couplet with Ahava. And it's really not that long of a section in the Orchos Hadikim. But we're going to elaborate a little bit upon it and how one works on developing, having a sense of not hating people, what's wrong with hating something. Let's begin. The Pasuk says in Vayikra, in Perek Yotes, Lo sisna es achicha bilvavecha, that you may not hate your brethren, you may not hate your brother and your sister in your heart. You may not feel hatred. Now, the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Avos Yisrael says that a person violates this Avera every moment they have this feeling in your heart. If you have a feeling in your heart of a hatred for somebody, so you violate that feeling at every single moment. Says your Chasadikim that sinna, that hatred, leads one to speak Lashon Hara, it can lead one to harm other people, to not have rachmanis, to not have mercy on people. This is all brought down in the Shari Tshuva. And if you hate someone, you cannot admit when the other person does something good, and you'll be unfair to them because you're so blinded by your dislike for that person. Now, what exactly is an indication, halachically, that a person feels sin? How do you measure if this goes into the range of sin, of hatred, or not? So there's different Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chav Zayin that says that you specifically avoid speaking with them out of dislike for 3 days in a row. That's one thing. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Chav Tes says that you're interested in something bad happening to them. You secretly wish that something bad will happen to them. And the Gemara in Adarim Daf Mem says that you rejoice when they fail. So all of these things are signs of hatred that one is showing or displaying sinna towards another person. Now, if someone hurts you, then you're allowed to hate them for what they did to you. The Toras Kohanim and Parshas Kedoshim says that you cannot hold a grudge. And that's the issue over here. If somebody hurts you, you don't have to be a shmata and a piece of dirt that people should step on you. But the issue here is of holding a grudge. The Toras Kohanim says that the Torah says, Lo sisnes achicha bilvavecha, in your heart. And according to the Torah, if somebody upsets you, there are only two options available to do. The first thing, and this is according to the Rambam and Hilchos in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Sefer HaChinuch and the Mishnah Berurah, all say the same thing. Either, if somebody upsets you, you should speak to them, to that person who harmed you, and tell them what they did was harmful, and let them know how it was hurtful to you. And when the person asks for mechila, you should forgive them. And if you're unable to talk to the person about what they did to you, how they hurt you, then you should work on forgiving the person and letting it go of that offensive thing they did to you. In the eyes of the Torah, there are only two options if somebody offends you: to either talk to them about it or to let it go. But to hold a grudge in your heart and to say, I hate this person because of what they did to me, I'm going to act in a way towards them that's going to be hurtful, I'm going to show hatred to them because of something I keep inside, is a violation of Lo sisnes achicha bilvavecha. Yeah, Lily.
Let's say, like, you hold a grudge in your heart, but you don't let it affect the way you act. Like, you can't get over this one thing that someone did, but, like, you still treat them the same as, like, you treat everyone else. But, like, it's just, you know.
It's going to be hard to say that you're going to treat them like you treat everybody else. At a certain point, it's going to, you know, creep through. It's going to, you know, marinate over time, and it's going to come out. But nevertheless, regardless of that, the Torah says there's only two things. Either you have to just forgive the person, let it go, or you have to talk to them. You have to raise the issue with them. These are the two options. Not saying it's easy, but these are the two options that the Torah gives us. Now, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis. Okay, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis says that Tanya, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Ba'avon Sinas Chinam, for the sin of Sinas Chinam, Meriva Rabba Besoch Beis HaShel Adam, there will be fighting in your household, Ve'ishtama pelas nefalim, a wife could miscarry, ubanav v'venosav shel adam meisim k'shem katanim, and children can chas v'shalom pass away. That's how damaging it is to hold hatred in your heart. Now, the Orach HaTzaddikim then goes on to rank different types of hatred. He says one of the worst types of sinna is sinas chinam. That we know. That's what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi and Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis says that sinas chinam is hating a person even though they didn't do anything wrong. Just hating them because. And this is what the Gemara in Yuma says, that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim, the three cardinal sins. And the second Beis HaMikdash, where they learned Torah, and they had mitzvos, and they did chesed, why was it destroyed? Because they had sinas chinam. And then the Gemara says that we can learn from here that sinas chinam is as bad as all of the terrible three averos of murder, Gilui Arayos, and Avodah Zarah. Wow. Now, a worse type of sinna is from envy of another person. That's worse than sinas chinam. Why? Because sinas chinam, you may come to be able to fix. But the Shla writes in the Shar Osios that if someone hurts you, then it's a matter that can be fixed. But if there's hatred from envy, it's almost impossible to fix that. Because there's nothing substantial or real about that feeling of envy. And it's very difficult to remove that feeling. If a person has kinna and a person is envious of somebody else, it's almost always going to be there until you remove the envy. It's not going to remove the hatred. And as long as that envy is there, it's always going to have that sense of hatred towards that person. A third type of sin that the Orach HaTzaddikim talks about is when a person doesn't help you or do a chesed that you ask him, and therefore you hate them for not wanting to help you out. Says the Orach HaTzaddikim, a person should push oneself to overcome these feelings of hatred. One does this by realizing that everything that happens comes from Hashem and not from other people. If something bad happens to you, it is no one else's fault or cause besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person is able to see obstacles in life as gzeros from Hashem, as tests from Hashem, then everything Hashem does is for the best, and they'll be much better off not hating other people. This is a yesod, a foundation of Torah and mitzvot, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, to develop the ability to say and feel gam zu l'tova, that this is for the best. And working on this midah will save you from sinna for the rest of your life. If you're able to see everything that happens to you as the hands of Hashem, and Hashem's controlling the world, and Hashem gave me this person in my life because this is Hashem's plan, then hopefully we'll be able to see Hashem in the world and realize when something happens to us that is offensive, it is not that person, but rather it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu testing us. We often hate those who we compete with in the same field as well, because we think they're taking business and success away from us. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, Kol uman sone b'nei umnaso. Every profession hates the other person in their profession, right? The plumber hates the other plumber. Why? Because the other plumber is trying to take his business, right? And the lawyer doesn't like the other lawyer because he's trying to take his business. Now, I guess it doesn't go for every profession, but that is the type of hatred that we see in some areas. But again, all this is silly if we realize that Hashem is in control of our parnasa, Hashem is in control of all the money we make. Worse than that is hating someone who tries to give you mussar and they want you to improve. That's the worst, because you're never going to hear it. You're never going to be able to improve or grow when somebody tries to tell you that you have what to work on, that you can improve. And worse than that, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, is those who hate people who do the right thing and they pursue tzedek. You know, sometimes a person is growing in Avodas Hashem and they're doing more mitzvos and they're, you know, being better about the way they dress and what they eat and they're davening and they're publicly, not because they're trying to throw it in somebody else's face, they're just being better about Torah mitzvos. And the people around them can make cynical comments about, oh, you're so religious now, you're not the way you used to be, you used to like this and you used to behave this, we used to go out here. And such people, says Orach HaTzaddikim, show a hatred for Hashem and their hatred for people who are coming closer to Hashem. They're so uncomfortable and they're so upset that they take it out on people who are just trying to grow and do the right thing. Finney.
But what about, like, hating someone that, like, the sem or whatever, like, if you hate someone who gets into a sem that, like, you want it to get into.
So that's envy. That's the sin of envy that the Shla mentioned before. Because if you are envious of that person, that as long as that envy is there, that hatred is going to exist. That hatred is going to exist. So
not to, like, hate them if you wanted to get in.
Say that again.
It's like hard, not that you hate that person, but like you hate the situation.
Yeah, but you're just going to affect how you're going to view that person. Because then you're going to start to play games with your mind. You're going to say, oh, you know, really, you know, they probably didn't deserve it. They probably had an aunt who was, like, friends with this person in the seminary, and they, like, made a phone call, and maybe their parents, like, donated two buildings, and, you know, they'll come with all types of excuses why they didn't deserve it and what's wrong with them and how they did something not right. So it's a dangerous game to play. Instead of saying that, you know, this is simply the way that the cards fell, and this is the way things turned out. I mean, it's not easy, but it's a healthy way to think. Tamar.
What if you publicly, if you hate someone who's publicly trying to become more religious, like on purpose, they're doing it like in public and trying to look, like, show off?
So, in that case, then they may be making a mistake in the way that they are displaying their religious growth. But that's between them and Hashem. That's not between you and them. Again, sometimes we person feels that way because they feel maybe inferior. They feel that, this person is really, you know, growing and I'm not. And I'm not really connecting. So they'll try to knock that person down. You know, Rav Yisrael Salanter would say that if you saw a boy who once pushed his friend down, and Rav Salanter asked the boy, why'd you push him to the ground? And the boy said, because, you know, I didn't want him to be better than me. So Rav Salanter told the boy, well, then raise yourself up. Go stand on a stool, and you'll be taller than him. If you're upset that someone is going to be better than you, don't knock them down. Don't hate them. So then raise yourself up. There's something called kinas sofrim. It's called the jealousy of the scholars. What's that? There's a type of kinna, a type of jealousy that's allowed. And that is to see that somebody has been successful, somebody has grown in their Torah, their Yira Shemaim, something like that. And you say, well, I want that too. Because I also want to attain, I also want to grow. So don't knock other people down. Don't push people down so you feel better. Raise yourself up and then you'll feel better. Isabel. Okay, so we're going to talk about that at the end. We're going to talk about that at the end. Excellent. Okay. Yeah, Frida.
It's a slightly off topic, but you were talking about how, like, Hashem always has, like, plan, and I very much agree with that. Like, I think Hashem has a plan for you, and, like, even though it's good or bad, but it's, how is it that you're, how do you understand that, like, for punishments? Like, sometimes, like, if, let's say, forget Mincha, like, I feel like that, and then the next day something bad happens, like, I feel like that's a punishment. Like, Hashem's like, you didn't daven Mincha, so therefore it's a punishment.
Okay, I hear the question. Let's hold off on that to the end, okay? Can you remind me at the end, and we'll come back and discuss that later? Okay.
Okay, thank you, yeah.
Okay, so the Or HaSadikim says that one way to increase your sinna, your hatred for another person, is to spend too much time with them. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Haker raglech mibeis reyacha, remove your steps from the house of your friend, pen yasbiyacha v'sanecha, lest he become full of you. He's had enough of you and hates you. And this is something that we would be very, very well off to learn. Sometimes we think that the more I hang out with this person, the more time we spend together, then the more we're going to be closer. It's not always the case. I think that perhaps some families maybe realize that over the course of coronavirus, that it's not so easy to spend all day with the people that you love. And it's healthy that we go out to work, we go to school, we have a break from one another, and that goes with friends as well. Now, sometimes even the best of friends need a break from one another. And it doesn't mean that they're not happy with one another, it doesn't mean they're not friends, it doesn't mean they don't like one another, but it's just good to have space. You don't have to hang out every single day. Because the more you hang out with somebody, the more you will see their flaws. That's just the nature of the beast. That goes with husband and wife, with siblings, whatever it may be. Married couples, they get married. They get married the first year, Shana Rishona, and everyone's, you know, lovely and wonderful. But when you wake up to this next to the same person, you see how they, you know, don't put the toothpaste cap on, and they, you know, they have this issue you didn't notice before when you were dating. You notice all these things. The more time you spend with somebody, then the more you're going to see those things that perhaps rub you the wrong way. And therefore, it's always good to have a little bit of freedom. Spending too much time, says Yoruch HaTzadikim, can lead to negative feelings. In fact, this is the explanation of the Maharal. The Maharal of Prague in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that you should have Aseh Lecha Rav, you should have yourself a rabbi, Bekneh Lecha Chaver, you should have a friend, and be down the Kaf Zuchus, and you should judge people favorably. So the Maharal says, I understand what A and B have to do each other. You should have a teacher, you should have a friend, and judge people favorably. What does that have to do with the rest of the list? So says the Maharal, because when you spend a lot of time with your friends, and you spend a lot of time with your teachers, you're going to find faults with them. You're going to see things about them that you didn't notice before, things that you find offensive. And therefore you have to be extra careful around friends and people that you want to like more and get to know. So you don't spend too much time. Sometimes friends, siblings, even spouses need time away from one another. Not because they don't like one another, but simply because being around the same person too often can create friction. And therefore, don't forget to be dan lekaf zechus. Because inevitably you're going to see something that's going to be upsetting to you. Then he goes on to say, this is back in the Yoruch HaTzadikim, that if you hate other people, they're going to come to hate you. And it's simply going to reflect the way you act with other people. Now the Chazon Ish wrote that even though it's usher to give someone food, if they won't make a bracha, that's a halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, it's preferable to give food to a secular Jew, because by not giving them food, it will cause them a much bigger avera, to hate another person. It will cause them to violate and therefore we need to make sure we actually that's not going to cause other people to hate you as well. Now, if you don't love people as Shem Shemaim, says Yoruch HaTzadikim, then eventually things will go sour and you will come to hate them. You should love people because you want to love people, not because you want something for them. Abby. No, not necessarily. But let's talk about that right now. Let's talk about where a person should hate and when it is a mitzvah and how do you relate to those types of things. The Yoruch HaTzadikim says there are two things you should hate. You should hate sinners. Now, the Yoruch HaTzadikim does not qualify this. He explicitly says you should hate people who sin. This is not the classic understanding. Generally, when we teach this ideas, we talk about not hating the sinner, but the sin. Not hating the person who does something wrong, but rather the person, the actions of the person. And it's not easy to get there, but we need to learn. Sometimes it's better just to view somebody as a nebuch, so to speak. This person did something mean to me. You know, they maybe they're having a tough time. They're, you know, something is going on at home, they're having difficulty in school, and they were just really obnoxious to me today. Okay, maybe something's going on in their life. Don't look at them personally, but try to, you know, look beyond them as a human being, as a sinner, and instead to look at their actions and to separate them. That's the first thing. And the second thing he says is to hate sheker. We should hate falsehood, we should hate things that are not true, and we should be despised by those types of things. Now the Chida, in his Chomos Anach and Iov, says that the Geula will not come if there's sinas chinam in the world. And even if we do lots of mitzvos, it's not going to come. And the Chafetz Chaim says that all of the tzaros, all of the pain in the world, begin and end because of sinas chinam. Now the Pasuk says, V'tomer lo imo ki alai kol asicha b'ni, ach shema b'koli v'leich kach li. That Yaakov didn't want to go and take the brachos from his father Yitzchak. And essentially Rachel said, if you don't go, then, you know, it's going to be on me. And we're going to have an issue. Alai kilalticha. Ayin lamed yud. Remember that. So the Vilna Gaon says that the word alai is Rosh Tevos. Ayin Lamed Yud is Rosh Tevos for Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Right? Rachel, Rivka is telling Yaakov that if you don't go and get these brachos, alai kelticha, there's going to be curses for Klal Yisrael. There's going to be bad stuff in the future. Alai, Ayin Lamed Yud for Klal Yisrael. Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. And Rivka was using her Ruach HaKodesh to tell Yaakov that there would be three difficulties in the life of her son. The pursuit of Esav, the trial of Lavan, and the disappearance of Yosef. And Yaakov was afraid that Yitzchak would curse him for taking the brachos. And Rivka assured her son that there would only be three tsaros in his lifetime. No more, no less. And therefore, with this knowledge, Yaakov was able to go and listen to his mother and go take the brachos, because only three bad things are going to happen: Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. The tzara of Esav is that the life of Yaakov was threatened. And the tzara, the difficulty of Lavan, was that the family of Yaakov was threatened by Lavan, right, who wanted to destroy him and his family. The integrity and uniqueness of Am Yisrael was at stake. But the most dangerous of the attacks on Yaakov came after he settled down from Esav and Lavan. There, the attack was from inside the family, in the form of sinas chinam, in the form of hatred. Because of this infection from inside his family, they were forced to go down to Mitzrayim, and they suffered terribly. And it comes to a conclusion in this week's parsha. Rav Asher Weiss explains that the accounts of Esav, Lavan, and Yosef all fall under the categories of Maisa Avosim Labanim. That what happened to Yaakov our Zaydi is going to happen to us. Whatever gzeira happened to Yaakov will happen to us later on in history. There are two types of gzeiras, two types of difficult situations for Klal Yisrael. One is physical destruction, like Haman and the Nazis, and this is in line with Esav HaRasha, who wanted to physically hurt us. And the other gzeira is the attack on Torah and spirituality, like Hanukkah. And this is from the tradition of Lavan. Lavan wanted to spiritually corrupt us. And these instances we can survive with the chesed of Hashem. But the most difficult of all the gzeiros are the ones that stem from sinas chinam. The most difficult situations for Klal Yisrael is when we can't get along and we don't treat each other nicely, like the trouble of Yosef and his brothers. And in our generation, we found the Nazis wanting to destroy us physically, and perhaps in Russia, the communists in the previous generation wanted to destroy us spiritually. But the gzeira of Yosef, of sinas chinam, is by far the most destructive out of all three of those curses that Rivka told Yaakov about. And therefore, we need to be so, so careful. We need to mechazik ourselves to increase our love for one another, shalom, friendship, and to increase shalom in the world amongst ourselves, so that this klal of Yosef doesn't overtake us. So sinna requires a lot of work. It's one of the shorter chapters in Orcha Sadikim, but it's certainly worth our time to think about. We'll take questions.